Amen. Let's go ahead and get into tonight's lesson this evening, and it's on the fruit of the Spirit, and I like to call it the outworking of God's inworking. And you'll see what I'm talking about as we go. A lot of times when you hear teaching on the fruit of the Spirit, people define all the different types of the fruit, such as what is love and what is long-suffering and all those types of things. But as we get into that, we're going to get into definitions this evening, because for years people have been teaching definitions and it didn't help anyone. Because people are going about it all wrong, I believe. And so let's just go and get into this, because every lesson builds upon the lessons that we had previously. And this one especially builds upon the fact that we have been made righteous because of what Christ did, and when we put our faith in what Christ did for us. And that every single person on the face of the earth needs Jesus Christ, because every single one of us were born in sin. And so sometimes people don't like to talk about that in today's church. They think sin's offensive. Well, it's only offensive if you don't have any good news behind it. Think about that. It's good news, and when you preach the gospel behind it, listen, this is who we are, this is what we deserve, but God loved us so much. And in order to satisfy His intense love with wherewith He loved us, look what He did for us. Amen. And so we need to not be scared to talk about certain things if we have the right message. Because you can't be born again if you don't think sin's a problem. Listen to what I said. Jesus had to die to deal with sin, so sin was serious. Think about this. The good news is Jesus died. And that what He did, we get to live because of that. And so the rest of the Christian life is not about dying to sin. It's about living to God. And so if all you're taught is dying to sin, your whole focus is on sin. But if your focus is on living to God, your focus is God. And then you start to live out what God has put inside of you at the new birth. So let's go ahead and look at our first point is, in Christ, you are a new creation. Not you will be a new creation. We learned about that in spirit, soul, and body. Amen? But in Christ, you are a new creation. And so you are a new creation in your spirit. We saw that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. We all know the verse by now. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. Old things that passed away, behold, all things have become new. Okay? We are one spirit with Him. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. I've quoted this, but I don't know if we've actually turned over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. It says, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. We have been made one with Christ. Our spirit is joined to the Lord. We are in Him and He is in us. Amen. And so your new man was created in true righteousness and holiness. We saw that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24. Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new man. Okay? Put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So the Bible tells us that we have a new man. It doesn't say go out and get a new man. It says you have a new man. Put on, but we have to put it on. So that's what we're talking about tonight. Fruit of the Spirit, working out what God has worked in. And what we saw in that verse there is that there is such a thing as true righteousness and true holiness. So that means there's such a thing as false righteousness and false holiness. Last week we talked about what is true righteousness. In order for God to accept you, your righteousness must equal God's righteousness in order for Him to accept you. And so the only solution we saw last week was that Jesus Himself came and He paid the price. He died for our sin, that when we put our faith in what Christ already did, righteousness, the righteousness of God is imputed to us. Amen. We've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. not separate from Christ Jesus, but in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about if that makes any difference to you, but it makes all the world difference to me. Because if I'm pursuing everything but Christ, then there will be no evidence in my life of righteousness. Think about that. But if I'm pursuing Christ, in other words, my relationship with God, I'm walking after Him, right? Then there's going to be evidence. It's going to be an outworking of that which I possess. Amen. So the next point is, you are complete. Nothing needs to be added. That we can find that in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, we're kind of doing a little bit of an overview, but this is all setting up where we're going. It says, and you are complete in Him. Not you will be complete one day. You are complete in Him who is head of all principality and power. I want you to say, I'm complete. You know, one of the biggest problems is that we don't believe that we're complete. We believe we're still lacking somewhere. We go run after a meeting down in Durban, or we go get on a plane and we fly to Joburg because we feel maybe that man of God can impart something to me that I don't have. Now listen to me, we need to go to right meetings. I'm not saying don't go, you're here. If I didn't believe that, I'd say go home. But we're not telling you I've got something special that if you would just believe and let me lay hands on you, then you'll get something. You got to be careful about those types of things. You have to believe that you are complete in Him. Is there any shortcomings or inadequacies in Jesus? Where does Jesus live? Inside of you. Your spirit is joined to Him. But the problem is that if we don't believe we're complete, even though we are complete, we will live as if we're not complete. It's really true. The more you get into this, you really realize how simple God made it. But we're the ones who make it complicated. Amen. I discovered a long time ago prayer, and we're going to be talking about that later, but prayer is not what we do to get God to do something. Prayer is what we do to get ourselves in agreement with God so God can do what He already planned to do. Think about that. It's a big difference. Because if you're trying to get God to do something, that is miserable. It really is. Trying to convince God to agree with you. We'll move on because that's a different teaching. What I want you to see is we've already been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ and have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Has blessed us. Not will bless us. Might bless us. Now think about this. Has blessed us with every, not some, every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So what does that mean, in the heavenly places? Well, you have to understand Paul, the way he wrote. He was a theologian, and he really liked to write in certain ways, and that's why a lot of his contemporaries said, you know, his letters are powerful and weighty, but you know, in person, he's not so impressive. See, Paul wrote in such a way that would get people to think. When he said in heavenly places, he's not saying it's way out there somewhere that you have to go get it. He's talking about that it's in the Spirit. Everything God's blessed you with is in your spirit. Why? Because you're complete. If you're complete, doesn't that make sense that that verse says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing? Now think about it. If this said it, you haven't been blessed with every spiritual blessing, past tense, and then in the other verse says you're complete in Him, there would be a contradiction there, wouldn't there? But they perfectly agree. You have been blessed, past tense. When you came to Christ, when you believed in Christ, your spirit was joined to the Lord. You became one spirit. And if you're not complete, you are accusing Jesus of being incomplete. Think about that. You're complete. Well, Sean, how come I don't sense it? Well, we talked about that in spirit, soul, and body. If you weren't here that night, you need to go and download the teaching. Amen. but you can't necessarily, your physical senses are not connected to the spirit realm. See, a lot of people are running after feelings. They want to feel something and they want to sense something. Listen, folks, if you feel something, it's great. There's times when I'm in, when you come in, you get in the presence of God and you're worshiping God in church and stuff and you can feel, there's nothing wrong with that. But we shouldn't put all of our, we shouldn't be relying on all those things. Because when we rely on those things, whenever we don't feel something, we think something's wrong. And if God has to do something for us to believe that He's with us, even though the Bible says He'll never leave us nor forsake us, then the next time He has to do something even bigger to convince us. Because it becomes just like a drug, and it has to keep getting stronger and stronger and stronger. What did Jesus say to Thomas? He said, "You believe because you see?" He said, "Rather, I say to you, blessed is he who believes, but he doesn't see." When you believe the Word of God, what the Bible says, even though your physical senses, you can't sense those things or feel it's true, when you believe it because God says so, that is, there's a stronger anointing on that than on what you can feel with your physical senses. Because your physical senses can lie to you. Your emotions can lie to you. You can believe something that's not even true. You can. I'll give you an example. Your neighbor throws a nice big party and invites everyone but you. And you say, "Next time I see them, I'm going to let them know what I think." And you're sure, you're twisting it around in your mind as to why they didn't invite you when you invited them for your Christmas party. And you're thinking all of these thoughts. And you're thinking, "I know what it is." And you're coming up with all these reasons in your mind as to why this has happened, and you're just as certain as can be, and then all of a sudden, you're about to go over there, and your husband, let's just say your husband comes up and says, "Oh, I forgot to give you this invite." Has that ever happened to anyone in any similar situation? But you were sure. You just knew that they snubbed you. Wasn't even true. You can't go based on your feelings. We have to go based on the Word of God. You know, it's nice to feel that Jesus is with us when everything's going well. But what happens when things aren't going so well in your opinion? That's when we start to wonder. You know, there was a great man of God said one time, listen to me. He was teaching. His name was Arthur Burt. He used to be a contemporary of Smith Wigglesworth. You ever heard of him? He's probably with the Lord now. He's from Wales. But he said, the same level down, he's talking about in your experience, where you cry out to God, "Where are you, God? Why have you left me?" is the same level up. Listen, the same level down is where you believe God's departed from you, is the same level up when things are going well that you depart from Him. Think about that. If we are so unstable that when things aren't going so well that we start falling apart, as Andrew says, like a $2 suitcase, when things are going well, you're going to take the credit. How many ministers started out well, but when things were going very well, they got in pride and lifted up? It happens. Now, this is not the message I was really wanting to bring tonight. I don't know how we got off on the feeling thing. But really, this is something that's very important. If you're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, it can't be based on how you feel. It has to be based on what the Word says. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, we're still in the, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ and have all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3 says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." So it says, as His divine power has given to us. 2 Peter chapter 1, what did I say? Boy, so I knew what I meant. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, "As His divine power has given to us." Now, not will give, might give, if we do everything just right. If you pray enough, if you fast enough, if you tithe enough. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying and fasting and tithing if you have the right heart. But that's not how God gives you things. It says here, He already gave it to you. He's already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, but it's through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Folks, when we know the Word of God and when we know what God's done inside of us, we will start to walk out and start to walk in all those things that God's already provided for us. Amen. So another thing about walking in the fruit of the Spirit is that you must recognize that all good things, all the good things that are in you, God worked in you based on what Jesus did. That's why none of us have an excuse. Think about that. If it was according to you, then some would be better off, would be better than you. Then you would be better than some. But if it's because of what Jesus did, then all of us are equal. And it just depends on whether or not we'll get the Word working in our heart or not. That's the only thing. I don't know about you, but that's good news. It's not about me. It's about Him. Because then all of us are the same, and all of us have the same potential to see the Word of God operate in our lives. That was the importance of the Word session, the very first one we had. But I want to look at right now, you must recognize that all good things that are in you, God worked in you based on what Jesus did. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. Hebrews 13, verses 20 through 21. This is one of my favorite portions of Scripture. And if it's not yours, it should be. Underline it in your Bible. If you still have a written one, a hardbound like this. A lot of people have digital these days, and that's fine. But look at this, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. How is He going to make you complete? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Notice it's not through what you do, but through what Christ did. And what's He going to do? Make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you start to understand these things, when we get to the next verse coming up, I don't want to go there just yet. I'll remind you of Hebrews chapter 13, because so many stumble at one of these verses I'm going to read in the next, in point H. But in point G, if you're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit or have the fruit of the Spirit evident in your life, you must acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ. That's Philemon chapter 1. There's only one chapter, but chapter 1 and verse 6. Okay, Philemon 1:6. And that says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Can you see this? You're acknowledging what's already there. See, the problem is most of the body of Christ don't believe it's already there. They think they have to go get it. So then their faith is not effective. Their communication of their faith, the sharing of their faith is not effective because they're not acknowledging what they already have. You have to acknowledge what God has put on the inside of you in order to see it work in your life. Now think about that. I think I did that analogy of the shades on your head. Did I do that here? Did I do that here? No. Okay. Have you ever seen someone who has shades, sunshades on their head? You do, don't you? Have you ever seen someone have shades on their head and they're looking for their shades? Now think about this. They're getting frustrated because they can't find their shades. They're looking everywhere. The problem is they already have their shades. And they're never going to find it out there. Doesn't that explain the frustration in the Christian life? When we're asking God for things and we already have them. And there's just silence in heaven. And we think, He must be upset with me. The reason there's silence is because God went and looked. It's empty here. I knew I gave it to them. We have to acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Not what will be in you. You have to go and get these things. Okay, now hopefully I'll have some time to get into one of the passages of Scripture that seem to say that we have to get something. But when you really understand this, it's not what is being said. Okay, our next point is, by acknowledging what God has done in you, by faith, you must now work out the salvation that God has already worked in you. For Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 13, this will totally solve this. I've always wanted to do a series on anxiety scriptures. Scriptures that have the tendency, if you don't understand them, to produce anxiety in your heart. But when you understand them, it no longer produces anxiety. So here it says, Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13, it says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. You cannot understand this verse without Hebrews chapter 13. Can you see that? How did God work in you and make you complete? Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Paul's not saying save yourself, guys, by trying really hard. If you don't understand the word of God and you don't have the proper foundation, when you read that, you will think Paul's saying save yourself. And you better be full of fear and you better be trembling and to make sure, because you never know if you're going to make it or not. It's not what he's saying. The fear there is talking about your love for God, right? You love God. You're keeping your eyes on Christ. And the trembling is talking about humility, recognizing that it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with what he did. Think about that. Isn't it the height of arrogance for a Christian to think that he's produced any godly characteristics in his life by his own efforts? Think about that. The trembling part is knowing where you got it from. When you truly know that God has worked it in you, independent of you, because of what Christ did, there's no room for feeling like you are better than someone else. Think about that. I may be walking in more faith or using more faith that God gave me than someone else is, but if I truly believe that God's given it to me and God did it for me at the new birth based on what Jesus did, I want to help that person not feel better than that person. Think about that. Does that make sense? How many Christians look down on others? Like Pharisees. Jesus spoke about the Pharisee. Then he spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on others. Think about that. You can't feel like you're better than another believer when you understand that there's none good, no, not one, none righteous, no, not one, that you had to receive it as a gift by grace through faith. So Paul's saying, work out your salvation that God has worked in. Everything God has worked in will stay in unless you work it out by faith, by believing it's in there. And work it out. Put on the new man. That's working it out. So that's why I like to call it the outworking of God's inworking. Amen. That's really good news. So let's go ahead and go over to the fruit of the Spirit. The section on the fruit of the Spirit. Let's go over to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Notice it says, you know, if you go up a few verses, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Works of the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are. It gives this big long list. The works of the flesh. All right? Now I don't want to go through that whole list. You can read that later if you want, but it's not a very good list. But you know what? In the church, there's still contentions, there's still jealousies, there's still outbursts of wrath, there's still selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. There's still all those things, and the Bible calls it a work of the flesh. So often, people want to blame the devil. Say, I couldn't help it. No, it's a work of the flesh. Yes, the devil could be leading and whispering in your ear, just like what he did in Peter's, when Peter said, "Oh no, Jesus, you won't go to the cross. I'll fight for you. You're not going to go to the cross." What did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan. If you're not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man." So the devil can, and the demonic realm can, try to influence us, but at the end of the day, it's a work of the flesh. And we have no excuse, because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Amen. And we don't have to give in to the flesh when we understand who we are in the Spirit. Who we are in the Spirit is infinitely stronger than who we are in the flesh. Infinitely stronger. You just have to believe it. You just have to believe that. See, I've had people come up to me, "Oh, brother, please pray for me. I just can't help myself. I go along good every now and then I just slip up and have a sexual failure or whatever." I say, first of all, you have to stop believing that lie. You can't help yourself. The devil just comes and that's a lie. See, as long as you believe that lie, it's like you're not acknowledging what's in you. Are you born again? Yes or no? If you're not born again, then let's deal with that. But if you're born again, it is a lie to say you can't help yourself. And the sooner you agree with that, the better off you'll be. Now, it's not a work of the flesh. Now, the work of the flesh are these things. So let's get back down. Let's go back down to verse 22. But I wanted to bring this contrast, this comparison contrast here, because verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," look at that, capital S, "is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now, I want you to notice that it's a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. This is where a lot of Christians are failing. They're trying in their strength to love. You know, you can love in your strength for a little while, but you'll come to the end of yourself. But there's no coming to the end of God. And I don't have time to get into it in this first session. But what I really wanted for you to see here is that it is a fruit of the Spirit, not a work of the flesh. That's so very important that we understand that when we understand who we are in the Spirit and we acknowledge who we are in the Spirit and we start tapping into who we are in the Spirit by faith, we can actually start loving people with God's love. Some of you are nodding your head. You kind of understand what I'm talking about. Maybe you've done that. You know, I have by faith believed when I didn't feel like it. I gave the testimony about praying for that lady. I didn't feel like it. You know what I did? I acknowledged what was in me. I tapped into it. And the results were love started flowing out of me to this person that was not there before. I did not manufacture that. The only thing I did was agree with God and say, "Yes, God, let's go. I acknowledge that you want to minister to this person. I acknowledge I have the fruit of the Spirit. I acknowledge that you live on the inside of me. I acknowledge I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead living on the inside of me. It has nothing to do with how I feel. Okay, Lord, I'm a willing vessel, a willing instrument. Let's go do it." See, when we start to approach things like this, if we start to approach our marriages like this, we'll start to see transformation where before it was a struggle because both of you are trying to communicate. Both of you are trying to do all these things. Like if you go to a marriage seminar, and I'm not attacking these things, but do these things and do this list and do that list, and you do it, and it still didn't really help much because you're not approaching it. You're approaching it through the flesh and not tapping into who you are in the Spirit. There is no failure in the Spirit, just a failure to tap into who you are in the Spirit. So we have to start believing these things. Because it just bothers me. I don't know if it bothers you, but it bothers me when I see two Christians say, "We just grew apart and now we're getting a divorce." It's like, you gave up that easy? Come on, don't you know who you are? Don't you know that both of you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you? This is nothing but an excuse. Don't you see this? I'm not trying to step on toes if you've been divorced. No, I mean, God loves you. I'm not criticizing. I'm not trying to make you feel bad. That's not what I'm trying to do. But we have so much on the inside of us that we have not even tapped into. We don't have to live defeated. We choose to. You know, every time I get discouraged, I have to remind myself, you're choosing to be discouraged right now. Because you're choosing to not believe and not acknowledge what's in you. You're acknowledging what's out there. I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and ignore and pretend there's nothing wrong if there's something wrong, but acknowledge there's something greater. And I'm tapping into the Spirit of God. I'm tapping into who I am in Christ. And I'm gonna, and this thing, and we're gonna go at this thing based on what Christ has done on the inside of us. Amen.